right, we begin the program today. T-minus 126 and 20 seconds. Glad you're with us as we watch the historic U.S. space launch scheduled for about 4:33, last I checked, this afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, 1:33 Pacific Time. You know, this is a pretty fascinating thing. When you look at what this is all about, Elon Musk is SpaceX. It's about to launch humans for NASA. It's an incredible example of public-private partnerships. You know, we have talked a lot about how amazing, you know, how amazing the American people are. I actually spent a lot of time, I spent time tweeting today, because if we're going to sum up coronavirus, one of the things that we learned here, we've rewritten the books on how we will deal with pandemics. We have now shown American ingenuity at its best. We see that. I saw a plan today by the Wynn Hotel in Vegas and how they plan to open up and open up safely. I was really, really amazed by it. Loved it. And I just thought it was just really good, solid, great Americans doing what they do best every single day. And they make our lives better every single day. You know, and what if we're going to sum it up, and this is what I sent out on Twitter today, what are the lessons we learned? And then I'll dovetail this into the SpaceX program and this launch that we expect, hopefully this afternoon. Last I heard, they were saying it was about 50-50 based on weather conditions, et cetera. But we learned what? The experts, the doctors, models, projections were all dead wrong. I'm summing it up here. We learned that China lied to the entire world in a spectacular way that resulted in many, 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 many hundreds of thousands dying needlessly. As that British study said, we could have prevented 95% of this. We also learned that we better start manufacturing our own medical equipment and our own medicines at home, including the key ingredients, which we soon learned we did not have all of them available to us because a lot of this had been outsourced to China. Another reason, if you want to think about a president being really ahead of the curve, Donald Trump and China, I don't think anybody was any more right. And the same thing with the border and the wall and on a lot of issues. Donald Trump's been ahead of the curve. And you know, if we're going to continue, we learn that protecting, you know, in other words, so the second part, we've got to start manufacturing our own medical equipment, our own medicines at home. So we are never, ever reliant ever again on other countries for such vital medicines and equipment. We can't do that. We learn that protecting older Americans. Now, this all vacillated with the experts all throughout this time here. You know, even Dr. Fauci saying you don't need a mask in mid-March and the risk is low in February 29th, this past leap year. But we learned that protecting older Americans was crucial. That was the one thing that remained constant. Older people, underlying medical conditions, compromised immune systems, they were most at risk. And they did that perfectly in states like Florida and Texas. I use Florida as the greatest example because every department in the state played a role in going and working with the nursing homes, long-term care facilities, communities like the Villages. They did an amazing job. We learned that when we do not protect older Americans, like the executive orders, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, the unmitigated disaster that is Michigan, it is a disaster. And had we not put COVID-19 patients in homes with other sick, older, vulnerable people, we don't know how many thousands and thousands of lives could have been saved. That was a huge mistake. We got to learn from our mistakes also. We learned, you know, on so many levels, you got to learn from the things you do right, the things you do wrong. We learned that when we do not protect them, there's trouble. We learn that travel bans and quarantines are smart, the new normal as far as I'm concerned, not hysterical, xenophobic fear-mongering. We learn that medical supply chains, food supply chains that never shut down, they worked perfectly in large part because those people in those manufacturing facilities, those employees did wear their masks. So masks work. We got to learn from it. We also were reminded that all medical workers, doctors, nurses, janitors inside these hospitals are heroes. We learned that those medical manufacturers of all that medical equipment, you know, at a record pace, they're all heroes too. We learned that the farmers, packers, truckers, grocery store clerks, and guys that stock the shelves daily to feed us, they're heroes. We learned that this country is great because of the people in this country. We the people. You make it great. The people of this country are, I mean, it's the greatest country God has ever given man. There's just no other way to put it. And I think it should inspire every single American in terms of, you know, what we're capable of. This was the largest, the fastest medical mobilization in the history of mankind. It happened right here before our very eyes, starting in March, and it's not June yet. We learned, Governor Cuomo, he needs to refund the state income tax bill that he's sending to out-of-state medical professionals that came to the epicenter of the coronavirus to work in the hospitals here to help save lives and put themselves in harm's way in New York's hour of need. Is that, Governor, is that how you say thank you? I mean, because it's absurd. Those are the lessons. And we learned that these public-private partnerships work amazingly well because of the ingenuity of the American people. Who would have ever thunk it that Ford and GM are going to manufacture ventilators? But they did. Which brings us back to where I started, which is, all right, we're watching T-minus, you know, 1 hour and 23 minutes, whatever it happens to be, till this SpaceX is about to launch humans for NASA. It is, by the way, this started in 2002. Elon Musk, and let me tell you something, this has now been a goal 18 years in the making. He started this company, set his sights on human spaceflight, and Demo 2, this mission, we'll see the company's Crew Dragon spacecraft launch from Cape Canaveral. The governor will be there. I understand the president's going to be there. These two astronauts on board, Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley. For the first time, it'll be the first launch of humans to orbit from American soil since the retirement of the space shuttle in July of 2011. And this is now a new, exciting era of human spaceflight. Now, it was literally a private spacecraft carrying astronauts, and SpaceX was, they worked hand in hand with NASA to build the spacecraft. It's called Crew Dragon. It's taken them over a decade. And by the way, what is going to go down today is, you know, not, it is not without risk. There's risk here, as we learned from the Challenger. And our thoughts and our prayers to these astronauts and all these engineers at NASA and all the people working at SpaceX that have devoted every second, minute, and hour of their lives trying to make this all go perfectly today. And if I had to bet, I'd say, of course, it's going to go well because we have the best. Occasionally, things are not perfect. We're not perfect people. Anyway, it's going to head to the space station, and it will take the about 19 hours to reach International Space Station. And the space station crew, like astronauts on any other mission, they're going to live and work with these other International Space Station astronauts for the duration of their time there. And these two guys, they have flown to space several times before. Hurley was even the pilot on the final space shuttle flight. And it's a phenomenal tribute to human ingenuity and genius and creativity and engineering and science and all the things that we marvel at. They're about to break a 9-year hiatus for NASA as they're the first astronauts now to launch from U.S. soil since the retirement of the shuttle in the intervening years. And this is kind of pathetic in my mind. Maybe I'm just too pro-American, but NASA bought seats for our astronauts at a cost of, what, $50 million a flight. From the Russians. They were flying our astronauts. Now, they've worked with, now, our, this is all hands on deck. You had Boeing being a part of this, SpaceX being a part of this, NASA being a part of this, a vision by Elon Musk being a part of this. and all the smart people that he hired. And the idea is that eventually this would build into something even bigger. I don't know. Linda, did you ever watch any of these Nat Geo or History Channel? One of the other. I don't remember which channel. One of those channels.
Yeah, Nat Geo does a bunch of stuff on this.
I love the stuff on Mars rovers. And I mean, I've watched it over and over and over. Sojourner, Spirit, Opportunity, Curiosity. And you watch these things land on Mars, and it takes you through this whole process. And then they get stuck in the mud. And how do they figure it out from Earth to get this thing rolling again? And how they the first one they did lasted so much longer than they ever thought it would ever work. It's incredible. I mean, there's galaxies, you know, we have universes within universes within universes. And by the way, China's set to launch a Mars probe and their own rover mission in July.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying there's going to be one from Europe, one from us, and one from China all this year. It takes like 7 to 10 months to get to Mars. And it's we're going to have all three of these countries doing it. It's just crazy.
Why is the competitive side of me want to win?
Of course we want to win.
I want to win. I can't help it. It's who I am. It's in my DNA. And I think we did a terrible service in terms of the American people by dismantling this even for a period of time. All right, we'll get to all of that, and we'll be watching it throughout the afternoon. Bill O'Reilly also is going to check in today. We have a lot of news today. A lot on Twitter and freedom of speech and censorship and all these companies playing all these games against conservatives are being called out by the president, by the vice president, rightly so. I love how we have CNN, Washington Post now fact-checking for Jack Dorsey. Now, Linda, you're friends with Jack Dorsey. I've met Jack Dorsey.
I would say friends is a stretch. We're colleagues. We're business colleagues.
Okay. You got him to come on this program, and I met with him.
Yes.
I think he's a smart guy. I explained at that time, if you remember, in a lot of detail, where conservatives' concerns were, and you recall the issues probably better than I do.
Yeah, I mean, we went to dinner, we talked about it, and, you know, the one thing I said to him was, you have to be fair and balanced. You have to hate everybody equally. Like, if you're going to have something said about the left, then have it said about the right, and vice versa. And he was very open to that, but the left is being real pushy. They don't like the pushback.
Okay, so if they don't like what somebody tweets, you know, my answer is too bad. If you don't like, you know, for them to be the fact checkers, okay, that's a task impossible.
Yeah,
because
it is.
CNN and the Washington Post are not the people you go to if you're going to cite fact checking. And that's exactly what Twitter did. Now, I guess they have this new competitor to Twitter. What is it called? Gab or something like that?
Parler,
Gab. I don't know. But you know something? By the way, for me to tweet now, I have to run it through an army of handlers. Nobody lets me tweet on my own. I don't even have... Linda, it's been how long since I've had access to any account of mine?
We took that away a long time ago.
If you feel like I'm a child that has had my toys taken away after my last fights. By the way, Jimmy Kimmel, to his credit, said, I never thought I'd say this, but listen to Sean Hannity. Because he agrees with me. And I know some of you disagree with me for this short period of time because we got to reopen the country. 74% of small business experts, they're expecting a recovery. But the cost is now too high. And if wearing masks brings us to football stadiums, I'll wear it. That's my line. Not because any government official told me to, but also to protect grandma and grandpa. You know, if my parents were alive, I'd do it for them. My grandparents were alive, I'd do it for them. I did not like what I saw in that pool in the Ozarks. Not because I think the kids are not, you know, young people are not as susceptible to coronavirus. But if they go see grandma, grandpa, then it's a problem. If they get it, if they have it, and they may not know, they may be asymptomatic, we've learned. Just got to learn the lessons. Because once we get past this completely, with whatever treatment, vaccine, et cetera, that emerges, which will be a controversy in and of itself. Don't drag me into that. Then life back to normal. Let's get our game on and be Americans. That's who we are. You know, freedom and fun and beaches and barbecues. That's what I want. Country music. You know, I just cannot get over the gall of New York. Even to this day. So Cuomo's going to Washington to meet with Trump. And he's like, oh, okay, this is going to be great. He said, this is one of the things I want to talk to the president about. Let's do something creative. Let's do it fast. Let's put Americans back to work. Let's make America better. It's common sense. Then the governor of New York. Now, for all of you in states that elect governors that don't tax and legislate and bureaucrat you to death and regulate you on levels you never dreamed. He said, yeah, let's overhaul Penn Station. Let's have a transformative reconfiguration of LaGuardia Airport, which like is always under renovation. Let's have the revitalization of rail tunnels beneath the Hudson and expand the Second Avenue subway. Governor, red state governors and voters have no business paying for your dream wish list of everybody paying for everything you want. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, T-minus 58 minutes, 22 seconds for this launch. You just got to pray at moments like this. I know everybody, all these engineers at NASA, all these guys at Boeing, all these guys at SpaceX, they put their heart and soul and brilliance behind all of this. 18 years in the making, and it's just hanging in the balance for this one moment. And I have total faith, confidence, belief in everybody. And it just is, we're not perfect people. And you have the best of the best. And it is, these astronauts are amazing. Everybody involved in this is amazing. And I just want to see a successful launch. I hope it goes off today. What are the odds now? Anyone get an update? Is it still 50-50?
Yeah, we're still at 50-50. And I was talking to our good friend, former Congressman Jim Bridenstine.
Bridenstine.
The guy is a class act. And he's over there. He's the administrator now of NASA. And I was talking to his team. And they're all there on the ground. And obviously, everybody's locked and loaded as we get ready. Because, POTUS is on his way with the First Lady. And they're getting ready. They're all going to be there together, sort of prepping for this big moment at 4:33. So it's 50-50. I can make a phone call to our friend Joe Bastardi and see what he thinks as well, if you like, and find out.
That's a great
out.
Idea. Yeah. Ask him and give us an update when you get it. Okay. I'll give him a buzz. I'll give him a call.
I'll give him a shout, see how he's doing.
This just fries me. Cuomo now asking, he wants, now you got to remember here, all these other states, red states, most of them, they elect politicians that balance their budgets. They elect politicians that fund their pensions. They live within their means. If they don't, they quickly make up the losses or make adjustments and cuts. We have now spent $3 trillion on coronavirus relief. And I would argue that we really didn't have a choice, because they were projecting as many as 2.5 million Americans can die from this. Now, were they right? Were they wrong? It doesn't matter. That's what we were being told. And you make decisions based on the knowledge you have at any given moment. And China lied to us the whole time also. That was another big component in this. But now to say to the American taxpayer in these states, and I say this against my own best personal interest, because until I get the hell out of here, and by the way, New York doesn't want me here anyway. This will be placed on the people in New York that are dumb enough to stay here, like me, because it's the second highest tax state in the country, the number one state for people exiting the state because of burdensome taxation, poor government services, and the worst infrastructure you can imagine. It's unbelievable. Now Cuomo's going down to Washington. Yeah, we'd like a transformational reconfiguration of LaGuardia. We'd like Penn Station overhauled. The revitalization of the rail tunnels beneath the Hudson River. We'd like to expand the Second Avenue subway, which has like been on hold for 40 years, as part of his wish list. I mean, red state citizens that elect responsible politicians, Governor, that is not happening. That cannot happen. It's your fiscal mismanagement and abuse of funds and malfeasance economically that the people of New York vote for that has caused this. $750 million New York tax dollars that goes to a a solar company in upstate New York when we could be fracking in New York and doing what Pennsylvania did smartly, or $600 million on a microchip company, or $90 million.
And Sean, don't forget, $900 million from Shirley McCray, de Blasio's wife. That's still missing. That's almost $1 billion.
That's Comrade de Blasio's wife. Correct. Now, originally, now that's just the state. Now the city is now saying, projecting that they're going to be shy nearly $9 billion and is pleading and begging for aid. I'm like, are you got to be kidding me? Not where $9 billion in the hole. Well, then cut your budgets. Do you know New York City has hundreds and hundreds of teachers that do nothing and get paid because they have been sidelined because of whatever allegation might exist? Close the cases out. It's unbelievable. You know, what did the New York Health Commissioner say? You know, I don't give two rats asses about the police department. You people, they prepared for nothing. You know, now we find out in New York, Governor Cuomo signed legislation granting hospitals and nursing home executives immunity from lawsuits related to coronavirus last month. What? And then we find out that Cuomo got $1 million from the Greater New York Hospital Area, a lobbying group for hospital systems. Well, apparently that's now money well spent. But I'm sorry, I don't think he'll make that ultimate determination, because that executive order, like the one in New Jersey, another dumb decision. It was New York, March 25th. It was March 29th, New Jersey. It was April the 6th, Pennsylvania. The dumbest decision to force COVID patients into nursing homes. This is unbelievable. And now, by the way, New York, their health website has deleted the governor's March 25th executive order that required nursing homes to take in COVID-19 patients. These people were screaming, we can't handle this. On top of the fact you had the hospital beds manned by the president, built by the president, 3,000 of them. They didn't use 2,000 of them. They only used 182 of the 1,000 on the comfort. And there were other, there were absolutely other places that they could have been sent. New Jersey was told to use the Javits Center. Same thing. But you give immunity to nursing home execs, and they gave you, you know, $1 million when you needed it to run in a primary. Unbelievable. I'm telling everybody around the country, you want to listen to me? Listen to me. Don't. This is not your problem. New York City, they're a sanctuary city. California, a sanctuary state. Gavin Newsom, that means free health care for illegal immigrants, paid for courtesy of California taxpayers, New York City taxpayers. How about you stop there? How about you start rescinding and cutting there? $500 checks to illegal immigrants out in California. You know, I'm look, if we don't get this country up and running, it is going to be an unmitigated disaster for the United States. Now, to the credit of what, 35 or so states, they've got their act together and they're now opening up. I gave you the lessons that I learned. I know some of you disagree with me on the masks. I don't care if you disagree with me on the masks. Disagree with me. It's not a Hannity mandate. I'm just telling you that I think one of the reasons that clerks and cashiers in these grocery stores that I went into every week and my local Rite Aid pharmacy, the fact they had I think that protected them.
Hey, Sean.
Yes.
I apologize for the interruption, but our president is speaking right now at the SpaceX launch. Would you like to go to it?
T-minus 50 minutes and 20 seconds. Yes, let's listen.
What they've done is incredible. In a very short period of time, we came here 3.5 years ago. It was almost a ghost town. And now it's the number one place in the world for what we're doing. So we're very proud of it.
What is your message for the astronauts today, sir?
Good luck. God be with you. It's a dangerous business, but they're the best there is. So we just want them to be safe.
Given the crisis the country's going through, what does an event like this mean in your judgment?
Well, I think it's very important militarily, too. We have Space Force, and from a military offensive and defensive standpoint, we're learning a lot. We have the most powerful rockets now, by far. We We have the best in the world. We have the most brilliant people in the world. They're all right here. So it's an honor to be associated. I want to thank Vice President and Karen. Thank you very much. The job you two have done. They've worked long and hard. And she was by his side all the way. Would you say that's correct, Mike? Or I'll get you in big trouble, Mike. So I want to thank the Vice President and Karen. They've been fantastic.
And Mr. President, I'm wondering if you have a comment about the events in Minnesota, please.
A very sad event. A very, very sad, sad event.
Should the police officers be prosecuted, sir?
Well, we're going to look at it, and we're going to get a report tomorrow when we get back. And we're going to get a very full report, but a very sad day. Thank you very much.
As the president, we're now T-minus, what, 40? They just took it off the screen. I missed it. Anyway.
49 minutes.
Within the hour. Now it's the one-hour countdown. Joe Bastardi is on the line. Joe, just give me a very quick synopsis. Did they take off or no?
Well, I don't think there's going to be anything in the area in about 45 minutes. It looks like there's a weak shower that's trying to cross toward the Cape right now. The heavy stuff is offshore into the southeast. And it looks like there's going to be a nice little 1 to 2 hour period where they can shoot this thing up if they want to. So it looks
on
pretty good.
So you think it can happen on time, in other words, in 48 minutes?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that they have to make the final determination because wind is involved also. If they think that there's going to be some wind shear and things like that that go on, yeah. You know, that's something that goes on at airports. But right now, if you look at the radar, if you intend on shooting off a rocket at 4:30 in the afternoon in Florida in May like this, the radar with all the stuff moving offshore into the south and nothing upwind from it, it's moving in from the west southwest, is a shower that is just across the sound there from the Cape, and it's weakening as it comes toward the Cape. And then there's nothing until you get west of Orlando. Even though these things can pop up pretty quickly, it looks pretty good.
Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, our official weather guy at the Sean Hannity Show. Thank you. You know, yesterday I told you this study, the guy from Duke and Stanford and all these experts talking about, you know, as a result of COVID-19 and the shutdown, you know, they've come up with a cost analysis, death analysis as a result of all of this. Statistically, every $10 million, doctors and economists, and you can look all this up yourself if you want. They have gone over the numbers, and they're saying every $10 million to $24 million lost in income results in one additional death. And one portion of this effect is through unemployment, which leads to an increase in mortality of at least 60%, which translates into 7,200 lives lost per month. Then you move it out from there. Humans are not meant to be alone, this study said. Many Americans haven't seen or touched another person in 3 months. USA Today columnist, I was in the stay at home until it's safe camp, but I can't take it anymore. Drug overdoses have climbed. Suicides have climbed. Homeless deaths have climbed. And it's, you know, these are scary times. But don't worry, your World Health Organization is back to praising China. If we ever give them a dime, I'm going to have a meltdown. I'm going to go full on. I'm mad as hell. I can't take it anymore. A Nobel Prize winning biophysicist is warned of this corona shutdown becoming more deadly than the virus. On top of the study I told you yesterday, this is also Stanford University biophysicist Michael Levitt. This is the one from a British American Israeli who won the 2013 Nobel Prize in chemistry, said he believed other health precautions like enforcing the use of masks would have been more effective in combating the pandemic. Look, I'm just telling you anecdotally how I feel about the mask because I saw these guys every week. Nobody in the stores I went to got corona, and they took precautions. We can learn from that to protect grandma and grandpa. All right, mom and dad. Now there's a fight over where we're going to move the conventions. I found this. This is amazing, actually. A Wynn Vegas hotel general hotel operations officer said that they're looking to reopen in Vegas. And the markups I've seen fascinate me because it shows American brilliance and innovation once again. They'll have those non-invasive thermal temperature scans, the ones I've been telling you about. No guests with a temperature of 100.4 or more will be allowed in the resort. All employees face coverings, complimentary guest face coverings, 300 hand sanitizer stations throughout the resort, a team of cleaning professionals. They're doing this at Fox News and at radio every day. We have antivirals sprayed in our control rooms daily. And so far, God, thank God, it's you know, working. The president now reviewing putting a halt to foreign work inflow so we can get Americans back to work. Another downside of this, Grand Theft Auto, car robberies are up 63% in New York City, 17% in Los Angeles. The Guardian headline, Andrew Cuomo's no hero. He's to blame for New York's coronavirus catastrophe. What does he do? Blame Trump, of course. Now the Georgia governor and the Florida governors are fighting to host the convention if the Democratic North Carolina governor can't promise the president that they're going to be able to have a crowd. And I don't blame them. Now, there's other ways to do it. You can do it outside, put people in masks. I don't care. If I can go to a baseball or football game, I don't care. I'm tired of arguing about it. I'm all in for that because it's only temporary. It's better than the alternative, which is sitting home. I'm sick of it. I'm sure many of you are also. This dopey shutdown Whitmer in Michigan has extended another stay-at-home order. Now, and that's another thing. If these states are unwilling to open safely like the 35 other states, don't ask the American taxpayers to pay for it. In Miami, their Hard Rock Stadium is morphing into a drive-in theater. I did think that was funny. And the governor of Michigan is lying through her teeth. Ha, my husband, it was a joke. Ha, ha. I didn't think it was funny, though. No, it was a cover-up of her husband's looking for special treatment because his wife's the governor. It's like Northam, you know, mandating masks, but gets caught without one. Unbelievable. He's such hypocrites. All right, Leonard Skinner, Simple Man. It can only mean one thing, and that means all things Bill O'Reilly. BillO'Reilly.com. T-minus 26 minutes and, well, 3, 2, 1. 26 minutes. Mr. O'Reilly, Simple Man, sir, how are you?
Trying not to complicate things, Hannity. How you doing, man?
I'm good. You know, are you as revved up about this launch as I am, the SpaceX, this public-private partnership, Boeing, NASA, Elon Musk? Amazing. I love the idea of America doing great things.
Well, I really got excited when I heard that they were going to put the prime time lineup of CNN on the spacecraft.
Stop, Bill. If you're going to get in trouble, you have your own show to get in trouble on. What do you say? You know, there's always with you complications because you're not a simple man. But go ahead.
Oh, come on now. That's just a little jest. They hooted that over there, I'm sure.
It just, you know, and it's always scary. I mean, we watch the Challenger, but yeah. I have such faith. I mean, we've done so much. You know, who would ever look at the moon, Bill O'Reilly? This is a simple concept. You look at the moon on a really clear night, and if you look through a telescope, I'm sure you've done this, you see the craters in the moon, and then you can see that red planet Mars, and the rover landed there, and the other rovers landed there. And the fact that human beings thought, we're going to not only go there, we're going to land there, we're going to walk around, and then we're going to come home. And they did it again and again. And now we're going, you know, to the space station.
Listen, American technology is obviously advanced the state of mankind. Look at all the dopey machines we have now and all the things we can do would have been unheard of 20 years ago.
By the way, the dopey machines, you mean like artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand that probably in another 20 years we're not even going to be here. It's just going to be the robots taking over. But that's the benefit, that you do these things and then you discover other things from the exploration. And, you know, we do it. The Russians are pretty good. You got to give them that. They're pretty good at it. But I think we're the best at it. We want to be chauvinistic today and certainly say prayers for everybody involved.
I agree on the prayer part. This is 18 years in the making, launching humans to space. Now, you know what that means, O'Reilly? Guys like us, you know, if the communists, you know, the Bernie Biden, you know, Bolsheviks ever take over the country, they're going to probably launch us into space with no chance of ever coming back.
That's right. We're going to be in one of those spacecrafts that just kind of wanders, doesn't ever land anywhere.
Floating in space. Remember the show when we were growing up? Now, this will age us. Lost in Space.
I never watched that show because I didn't like the little kid on it. I thought he was a, you know, a, so.
Oh my gosh!
I know June Lockhart was in it, and I know what happened. But you know, there's no state income tax on the moon, so that's
well. Hang on, Cuomo will find the Cuomo's taxing. Can you believe that he's taxing the healthcare workers from the rest of the country that flew into the epicenter of this pandemic to help out New York in its hour of need? He's slapping New York City state tax on them.
I found out something about Cuomo today. I don't know if you know this or not. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right, so he goes down to D.C. to talk with Trump, right?
Right.
And it's a happy meeting in the sense that neither of them are going to harpoon the other. I think there's been a deal made, a silent deal. Look, you lay off me, I'll lay off you. But the reason that Cuomo went down is that he wants federal money for the tunnel, the train tunnel they need between Manhattan and New Jersey. And he also wants federal money for the rapid transit he needs to LaGuardia Airport, a little kind of like a space car that would take people from Manhattan to LaGuardia. He can't do it because the state of New York owes $6 billion and they can't pay it. So he goes down and he wants Trump to do this. And Trump may, because Trump wants these infrastructure projects, put people back to work. So both have a common interest. But in the process of researching this, I came across a pretty startling situation. As you know, 5,600 elderly people have died in New York State from COVID in nursing homes. As you also know and have reported, the reason that happened was that Albany ordered those senior citizens to go back to their nursing homes knowing
No, no, no. It was Cuomo's executive order. And by the way, the New York Health website, Bill, deleted the order. It's in their minds, it doesn't exist now.
Okay. So the state of New York and the governor ordered the people back to the nursing home who had COVID and they infected other people, 5,600 dead. In the new state budget of New York, very secretly injected by the governor, by Cuomo, is the clause, you cannot sue the executives and their companies who run the nursing homes. Did you know that?
And Bill, the very same group donated $1 million to Cuomo for his 2018 primary, the Greater New York Hospital Association lobbying group for hospital systems, and some of which are nursing home owners, they donated to him $1 million. They inserted it in the budget bill. And by the way, this is not going to stand litigation. They're not. That will not hold.
Because they'll sue anyway, and you're way ahead of me, because that's what I was going to say. So throughout his whole career, Andrew Cuomo is a very articulate guy, and you shouldn't underestimate him if he does replace Biden as a candidate, which is possible. He has done this kind of stuff. He has taken donations to further his career in return for favors like this. And if this were Donald Trump who did this, if somebody gave Donald Trump $1 million and then the Trump organization bought a golf course from the guy who gave him $1 million, where do you think that would be? All right. But this story, you've reported it, I've reported on BillO'Reilly.com, it'll never get into the mainstream media. Now, The Guardian did do something on it, but The Guardian is a, you know, it's shaky. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of things going on right now in America that people are just not aware of because they're preoccupied by COVID.
Bill, fully, if you look at the executive order by Cuomo came March 25th, the executive order by Murphy came on the 29th, the executive order by the Pennsylvania governor, what's his name, Wolf, that came on April 6th. Whitmer is even worse than all of them combined. Shut down Whitmer. She's now extending the shutdown forever. Your wish list is right, but it's even bigger, Bill, because he's now asking all the think of all these red states that elect fiscally responsible governors. Many of them don't have any state income tax like 10% in New York and 3% in New York City. And de Blasio wants another $9 million. He wants Penn Station overhauled, LaGuardia overhauled, the railways underneath the Hudson overhauled, the 40-year project to fix the Second Avenue subway overhauled, and And those taxpayers in red states that fund their pensions and balance their budgets and elect fiscally responsible legislators and governors, they're not paying for this, Bill. And by the way, my advice to them is no, hell no. Tell your senators and congressmen no.
Yeah, listen, if you look, you compare Florida in the last 10 years from 2010 to 20 to New York, I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The inefficiency of New York compared to the efficiency of Florida under Republican administrations. So I'll just give you one, that in Florida, they have increased spending by $28 billion over 10 years, okay? And their population has grown 3 million, now more than New York. New York's spending increased $43 billion, and they lost population. And so it's $15 billion a year less in Florida. That's what you're saying, is that Republican administrations that don't waste money and have all of these programs that don't work, they're not going to be sending money to California, New York, and Illinois to bail out these people.
And remember, $137 billion unfunded pensions in Illinois.
Oh, that's
look
crazy.
At the mayor of New York and his wife. $900 million waste, fraud, abuse, debacle. Look what they did in Albany. $750 million for a microchip company, or they spent $6 million on, no, it was a solar panel project, $750 million, $600 million on a microchip project. Both of them went belly up.
Yeah.
$90 million on a light bulb company, that went belly up. So
it's crazy. Look, the liberal mindset is because it's government money, it doesn't matter. And that's the big difference between conservatives and liberals. Can we get to Biden for a minute? Did you see the CNN interview on Biden yesterday?
I did. Can I ask you one more question about New York, though? By the way, it's T-minus 15 minutes and 50 seconds. Everybody I know, now businesses have figured out teleworking works. You don't have to pay big prices for rental space, office space. You live in a closet and it costs you $3,000 in New York. And people are going to leave. And people are going to leave New York. Does New York become like Detroit?
Not that bad, because you have that international money coming in. I wrote a column on BillO'Reilly.com. It's posted Escape from New York off the 1981 movie when they drop Kurt Russell into New York to find the president's been kidnapped.
That's a great movie.
Great, teachy movie. But New York is going to, their real estate values are going to plummet. Companies and corporations will move out, so will people. They lost 181,000 people, New York did, last year. I think that'll double in 2021. There'll be an exodus out. Power will go down, but because of the international finance,
they won't go. They won't lose half their population like Detroit did. All right, personal question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want. Last time you were on, I said, Bill, because every year my accountant says the same thing. Whatever you do, don't die in New York as a New York resident. Now I say why? Because there's another 10% death tax in New York. There's a New York City death tax. I mean, it's unbelievable. I asked you, why don't you go to Florida? And your answer was, I'm loyal. And are they loyal to you?
No.
Who are you being loyal to?
Friends and family.
What loyal for? Bring them to Florida with you. You're a simple rich guy.
To Florida, Hannity. Okay, a big covered wagon thing. We're going down. bring them to Florida. Everybody can't go.
Oh, Riley, you get on a jet. You pack the jet. Boom. You get a I'll get you a camper.
Jet.
I'll
My
get you
God.
A concert bus. Anything. All right, they just scrubbed as we were going to break the launch, SpaceX. But you know what that means to me? It means that all the right decisions are being made. Bill O'Reilly, BillO'Reilly.com, all things O'Reilly. Simple man, Mr. O'Reilly. All right, you wanted to talk about Biden. We didn't have time last segment. Your thoughts on this CNN?
He's on CNN last night. Very simple question posed. If you were president, what would you do differently to handle a pandemic? So Mr. Biden was lucid. He had control over his words last night.
Amazing.
I wrote Killing Reagan, so I'm familiar with because when Ronald Reagan got shot, he lost that ability for a little while, got it back. So Biden could not or would not answer that question. And I'm sitting there going, what's going on? I mean, you don't have anything that you would do differently? He said, I'd listen to the scientists. Like, who? What does that imply, that Trump doesn't listen to the scientists? What's Fauci and Birx doing out there? I mean, come on.
By the way, Bill, he
one thing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, he didn't have anything.
But he listened to the scientists. That's why when they said, and this is where there was no option here, the country demanded a shutdown. The projections, which have all been wrong so far, were 2.5 million Americans were going to die, Bill. That's what they told us. They got it wrong. China lied. All the models were wrong. You know, Fauci, I love the guy, but he was saying the risk is low on February 29th, and he was saying that, you know, you don't have to wear a mask like March 10th and March 9th, saying if you're young and healthy, you can go on a cruise ship.
Yeah, but that was teed up for Biden to absolutely knock it out of the park. Here's what I would do differently than President Trump. A, B, C, D. He couldn't come up with one, Hannity.
You want to know why? Because while they were impeaching him, he put in the travel ban. This was 10 days after the first identified coronavirus case. Then the quarantine, first in over 50 years. Then subsequent travel bans, all during impeachment. They weren't talking about corona. Nobody was.
I was.
You were.
And you would think if the interviewer would jump in and go, Mr. Vice President, do you have one thing that you can point to that you do differently? One thing? Mm-hmm. But no. Nope. No way.
Nope. No way. By the way, Bill O'Reilly, you don't mind me saying this. I know you think you're a simple man. You're very complicated.
Oh, you stop it.
You are so complicated.
If I used to watch
the O'Reilly Factor, I'd have to figure out talking points says. I'm like, talking points can't talk. There's no talking points talking. That's Bill talking. All right, BillO'Reilly.com. Mr. O'Reilly, thank you. We'll continue on the other side. Your call's coming up. All right, 25 to the top of the hour. All right, the NASA SpaceX launch. What do we get down to? T-minus 13? 12?
13, boss.
And it was scrubbed for all the right reasons. Weather.
Well, it was lightning, and the light, it's just too dangerous.
You know, it's really funny. Kobe Bryant's one of the greatest basketball players of all time, right? I mean, talent. I mean, just amazing. And as, you know, somebody that, you know, I love flight so much, not as much as Neil Bortz, but he has, I never want to fly, but I'm fascinated by it all. And, you just see, like, decisions that were made. You got to always err on the side of caution. And, you know, I didn't like when I had read that day, sadly, that the police helicopters had been grounded. I'm like, I don't understand that part of it. And I know there's avionics that literally will steer and maneuver, in this case, a helicopter around terrain or mountains, even if you don't see it. But they asked, I think, for a visual fly, and the obviously cloud cover was low. It's just sad, and I just always prefer err on the side of caution. If you're not going to get anywhere, too bad. That's the end of that. And I don't know the circumstances there. I just know it was tragic. I just know that, when you hear that other people had made a different decision, you wonder why. And it ended in a tragedy. And I know that this happens. Some people own private aircraft, and they'll like be forcing pilots to make decisions they never want to make. And I'm like, that's not your area of expertise. Go sit in the back. Have a drink. And we've all been delayed on tarmacs for hours and hours and hours and hours, and it sucks. But you know what? I'd rather get there safely. Back to the shutdown issue for a second here, because there's a lot of information that is very, very important here. And we better start to understand the impact of all of this with coronavirus on the entire country, because, you know, we're now seeing these studies that are scaring me. And that is that the cure, the shutdown, you know, the leveling and flattening of the curve and all of this is now getting worse. And Americans also, they're dying to get back to living, which I don't blame them. Now, do I think we could have done any better? I do. I think we've got to learn the lessons of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and, you know, shut down Whitmer. whose husband wants the right to take only his boat out while people can't cut their lawn. It's infuriating. And we learn that when you the mobilization of the National Guard in Florida, every state agency targeting the most vulnerable, that worked. We learned from New York that wearing the stupid masks work. You know, we've got to learn the lessons of this so we can open up safely. We're now seeing with a lot of people that, you know, you have one Nobel Prize winning biophysicist, as I was telling you. This was, you know, we told you about this story yesterday in chemistry, Michael Levitt, and, you know, a British-American-Israeli won the 2013 Nobel Prize in chemistry, said he believed our other health precautions, like enforcing the use of masks, would have been more effective in combating the pandemic. All right, well, we were predicting at the time 2.5 million people would die. I think lockdown saved no lives. I think it may have cost lives, he said. I'm not an epidemiologist, but he said there's no doubt that you can stop an epidemic that you, you know, there is no doubt you can stop an epidemic with a lockdown, but it's a very blunt, very medieval weapon, and the epidemic could have been stopped just as effectively, you know, with other sensible measures, masks, social distancing. You know, getting people to social distance is hard. This is not easy. You know, I'm not saying, you know, people thought I was being overly critical of these kids in the pool over the weekend. I'm really not. There's a natural craving to be around other people. We're social creatures. We want to be around others. You know, not shaking hands to me is almost odd at this point. Elbowing everybody. And I have sharp elbows from obviously all my martial arts training. But
I thought I'd never hear you say on air. You know, I have sharp elbows, audience. It's a very strange thing to say.
Well, you asked Sensei about them. I throw a pretty mean elbow. All now right. 7 years in the making.
All right.
We know that Governor Whitmer's never-ending lockdown, which he extended, is now has left Michigan with the second highest unemployment rate in the nation. As if Michigan financially hasn't suffered enough, especially with these draconian measures. You can't cut the lawn in your Hustler turf lawnmower? Are you kidding me? But her husband's called, oh, it was a joke. No, it wasn't a joke. You're lying. I don't believe one word of that. Not a single solitary word that she's saying. So we do have some good news. We have a poll out that 74% of small businesses expect to fully recover. But that means 26% don't think we're going to recover. I'm most worried about the restaurant business, bar business, and places like that. I do believe that we can open stadiums. I won't reiterate my method of doing it, but I think that's very doable. I've had Robert Kraft on Hannity last night, and Robert Kraft was pretty clear about all of this. Economic experts, both parties, predict the economy will be booming by Election Day. Anyway, back to the poll first, though, in the latest sign of economic resiliency. Now, when we get these April, May, June numbers will be a disaster. I'm just preparing you. It's not going to be fun. Anyway, but now 3/4 of small firms say they're going to be back to business as usual within 6 months. Now that the stay-at-home rules are being lifted. And a lot of people are using, again, the masks, etc. This is only going to be, this is very short term. It's not going to be a new normal. I know many are concerned that this is going to be the new America. I don't believe that that's going to happen because I don't think Americans would cooperate with it, number one. Now, the Washington Examiner, Larry Kudlow, Director, National Economic Council, he was saying, I think the 3/4 is going to be a huge growth quarter. We agree with the Congressional Budget Office. The 4/4, which is October, November, December, the whole second half, we're going to see tremendous growth that will spill over into 2021. That's all true. I mean, we could easily have 1 to 2 million jobs created a month in the 4 reports before November. And by the way, that's from Obama economic advisor Jason Furman. And then toward the end of October, we'll get GDP for the 3/4 at an annualized rate, and it could be double-digit positive economic growth. I would predict as of today, and that's why opening stadiums and having concerts and preparing and getting if the Major League Baseball Players Association could sit at the table and make a deal that benefits everybody, we can get people back in the stands. But I think this guy Furman, who was the top economist in Obama's years, now a Harvard professor, he said to a group of policymakers last month, we're about to see the best economic data we have seen in the history of this country. Well, we're about to see the real worst economic data when we get the numbers in July for the second quarter, which is April, May, June. And he said, my big worry, he says, think about this. This is my big worry. That the recovery, it's going to be a dramatic recovery among top members. And he says that's a very extremely high potential. And his theory is the current shutdown is closer to those who accompany a natural disaster. Drop-offs tend to be sharp, but followed by sharp rebounds. Given how many people were furloughed, how many businesses closed, you can get a big jump out of that. It'll look like the beginning of the V-style recovery. He's right. That's what our hope is. We want that to happen. Why would you not want that to happen? Oh, because you don't like Donald Trump. Well, there's a reason. Jerry Nadler, this whole battle over mail-in ballots, actually, we found a quote of him. Paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. I can show you experience which would make your head spin. Ah, he's supporting Donald Trump, which then brings us to the big Twitter question. Fact-checking, using CNN and the Washington Post as fact-checkers. They're not news. These are liberal talk stations. You know, then Biden is out there. He spent his 15 minutes laying the wreath on Memorial Day. He's back in his basement being stupid. And he said Bill O'Reilly was right. Couldn't answer the question. And that is, what would you do differently, Joe? Listen to the experts. That's not an answer, because Donald Trump listened to the experts. And the expert, by the way, none of the experts agreed with him on the travel ban or the quarantine or the subsequent travel bans. He did all that on his own. And, Joe Biden, I think this whole macho thing about not wearing a mask, the president probably is the one person that doesn't have to wear a mask because he's getting tested and everyone around him has to get tested, which is the right thing to do. And I'd say that regardless of who's the president. But a lot's going to happen in 160 days. A lot is going to happen. Then you're going to have, once Joe has to come out of his bunker and they're going to have whatever convention they're going to have, Trump's going to have a convention. A real convention, regardless of what the Democrats do. And I would imagine there's probably pressure on the Democrats. Whoa, what do we do? He's going to have one. We're going to look stupid. Joe's going to be in his basement. That's not going to look too exciting. So we'll see what happens here. But then he's going to have to answer for quid pro quo Joe. He's going to have to answer for zero experience Hunter in Ukraine and China. Then he's going to have to identify what he would have done differently, why he called the travel ban xenophobic, hysterical, fear-mongering. He's going to have to explain why in 8 years as vice president, 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty. Then he's going to have to explain why did it take Donald Trump? Because he's, you know, he now has the definition. Well, if you vote for Trump, you ain't black. Okay. And he even said he's voting for Biden. I'm sorry, he's going to defeat Biden. I'm like, okay, you go defeat Biden because you're doing a good job of it so far. You know, now he's accusing him of death. You know, it's just like he's flailing. And everyone's hoping, well, what if for your points, Michelle Obama, he can't lose. I don't know if Michelle Obama wants it or not, but I'll take Trump's economic record against the Obama-Biden record any day. And I'll take Trump's foreign policy success and beating Baghdadi and killing him and killing Soleimani and killing the al-Qaeda leader in Yemen and defeating the caliphate that they couldn't beat, bringing back jobs from overseas, manufacturing jobs that they said was never coming back. I'll take all the energy independence that we haven't had in 75 years over, you know, the environmental extremism of every Democrat now. And we'll just have to see. I mean, it's going to be game on. It's about game time. And there's going to be a lot of issues on the table. But, of course, the biggest donor is going to be the media and the mob in the media. And guess what? They have an agenda. You know, I loved it. Now, that I what did I say when Kayleigh McEnany, you know, did her first press conference as press secretary? Just count the days till they start attacking her. And she rightly said, journalists are not above being questioned when they've got obvious agendas and they're only donating to the Democratic Radical Socialist Party, and they ignore that they lied for 3 years on Russia, Russia, Ukraine, Ukraine, impeach, impeach. And they've got, they ignored the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history. They've got a problem. I love fake news CNN and MSNBC staffers. They're all spotted out on the town. Now, the person on camera is wearing a mask. The person behind the camera, in the case of MSDNC, is not wearing a mask. And the guy on camera is lecturing everybody else about not wearing masks. A guy takes a video and he says, what about your cameraman? He's not wearing a mask. Oh, yeah, not even my cameraman's wearing a mask. I mean, you can't make this up. You know, it's that's how nuts both these networks are. You know, they both fail to practice what they're preaching all of us to do. And look, I'm only telling you, I'm not wearing a mask if I'm not, if I have social distancing, there's no mask on my face. There's not. But if you can't in those circumstances, then, you know, you wear it then, but it's short term. And the president and vice president are also right about Twitter. You know, if they're going to use the Washington Post and they're going to determine what's truth and not truth, then okay, I want them to go back and fact check everything they got wrong on Russia-Trump collusion. Then they can fact check how Joe and Hunter and the whole quid pro quo Joe zero experience Hunter fiasco. You know, it's the Twitter fact checker claimed the Trump administration are actual Nazis and mocked flyover states. I kid you not. The Twitter official responsible for the fact-checking policies, tell your friend Dorsey this, has tweeted that members of the Trump administration are Nazis, among other false inflammatory statements on the platform. This guy's title is head of site integrity. I think he's got a bias, don't you? Yeah, that sounds like a bias to me, but they pointed out that his own tweets include exactly the kind of misleading, abusive content that Twitter's policy is purporting to limit. Jack Dorsey, pay attention. You might need a new fact checker because the one you have is abusively biased himself. And if he's calling Trump supporters Nazis, that might explain why conservatives have rightly been pointing out that, in fact, all of these outlets are purposefully suppressing conservative free thought and ideals. Now, if they want to set up a private club, fine, but we'll find another site and I'll promote it for free if that's what their strategy is. All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. That was just the latest cringeworthy exchange. Joe Biden, now I got to give him credit. He finally, although this does not count in terms of our countdown, you know, the fact that he did take a brief appearance, he did go and lay a wreath at the Delaware War Memorial. Okay, credit. Joe left his house for 15 seconds for a worthy cause. That doesn't count as leaving his basement to me. So now we're at day 72 of quid pro quo Joe, the ever forgetful one, in his basement. And, you know, he keeps doing these appearances one after another after another. Funniest thing he said in a recent interview, oh, I'm doing just fine in my basement hiding. While Trump's governing the country. O'Reilly pointed out earlier, rightly so, that, you know, when asked, what would you do differently? I listened to the experts. Well, we already know what he'd do differently. We watched him on N1H1, to quote him. Really, H1N1. So then, you know, the train wreck continues with these interviews. You know, whether he said, I'm going to be Joe or beat Joe Biden. It sounded like beat Joe Biden to me, but whatever it is. But he's doing a pretty good job of beating himself. And he does this interview with a radio host by the name of Charlemagne. It was so bad, you can see, like, Joe shushing away a staffer who tried to prevent, you know, this ever-confused boss from answering any more questions. And that's when he said the line that you just heard, you ain't black if you don't support him in the election. Well, okay, now rightly all the criticism has been taking place. You have even the radio host Charlemagne saying that Biden is an intricate part of the system that needs to be dismantled. The founder of BET called on Biden to apologize to every black person he meets till election day. Even James Clyburn was shocked by this. Biden offers on a CNN interview, he goes out there and he says, I shouldn't be such a wise guy.
The question about what some supporters say they're worried about, which is that all of this could end up hurting the enthusiasm that you really need to win among black voters.
Well, first of all, it was a mistake, number one. And I was smiling when he asked me the question. I shouldn't have been such a wise guy with him. He was being a wise guy, and I responded in kind.
Okay, but this is not his history. He has a disturbing pattern of this. 1977, he worried that his children would grow up in, quote, his words, racial jungle if integration is not done in an orderly way. In 93, he said inner city crime caused by predators on our streets. Again, always use the what if Donald Trump did this? What if Donald Trump ordered the elderly into nursing homes, for example? In 2006, he says, well, you have to have a slight Indian accent to work at a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts. And I'll never forget the comments about Barack Obama. This is the first mainstream African-American who's articulate and bright and clean. It's storybook, man. Yeah. Then bragging he comes from a slave state. Same guy that says they're going to put you all back in change. You know, bragging he worked with segregationists to get things done. I mean, well, it's only the tip of the iceberg. Anyway, here to talk about it and debate Vince Ellison, conservative columnist, lecturer, author of the book The Iron Triangle. Leo Terrell is back, American civil rights attorney, talk show host. He was on Hannity last night. Leo, I got to be very blunt with you. You ready?
I'm ready, Sean.
You know what I discovered last night when you were on the show? I miss you. We've been friends for a lot of years. I don't know how we got out of touch. I know that you used to throw your microphone down and you rip out your earpiece and walk off the show a couple of times when I mentioned your buddy OJ, but you seem like you're over it now.
Well, look, Sean, I miss you. I'm glad you had me on last night. I really appreciate being on your radio program, and I hope our 20-year friendship remains continuous.
I remember how much I liked you. I do, and even though we don't agree a lot, I remember.
Yes.
Anyway, all right. Now, I gave you the history, Leo Terrell. You're an attorney. You're successful. By the way, Larry Elder did take a pretty big shot at you. Not where Leo's living. I don't know what that meant. I assume.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was funny. But this is his history. Now, you tell me, who helped historically black colleges? Trump. Who did criminal justice reform? Trump. Who's the guy that created these business opportunity zones? Trump. Who gave us the lowest unemployment rate for every demographic, including African-Americans and African-American youth unemployment? Trump, not Biden and not Obama.
Well, Sean, let me be very clear, because I said it last night and people know me. I'm very fair-minded. I'm not a big Trump supporter. But what Joe Biden did last night, he insulted every African-American in this country. He basically said that Tim Scott, who's a very good Republican, black South Carolina senator, shouldn't be a Republican. Joe Biden is not in the position to question anyone's blackness. And I think Joe Biden is in a time warp in the 70s or the 80s. I think you're absolutely right. If you're looking at what has any politician done for African Americans, the things that Trump has done in the last 2 or 3 years are things that are happening now, not what Joe Biden is relying upon in the 60s and 70s. African Americans, especially those under 40, they will not buy the 70 and 80 logic. They want, what can they do? What can a politician do to put money in my pocket? And so far, all Trump needs is to move that needle 2 to 3% of increasing black support. And I guarantee you, he will carry the states that he won in 2016.
Let's get your answer. Vince Ellison, great to hear your voice again. We've missed you in the middle of all this coronavirus talk.
Oh, man, I'm glad to be with you, and I'm happy to be on with the legendary Mr. Terrell. And I'm happy to hear that he's seeing things clearly the same way that I am. What Joe did was just really, it was not good. And as you said, Sean, you ran it all down. As I've told you before on your show, a tree is known by the fruit it bears. And what the Democrats have done in the black community over the past 30, 40 years is just horrible. It's like a cultural genocide. We have 10 times more people in prison. Schools are in many of these cities like Baltimore, Detroit, are just terrible. Trump is fighting for school choice. He's fighting to get these black men out of prison that Joe Biden, who wrote the Clinton crime bill, sent to jail. He's fighting to make sure that people come to this country, come legally, so that when they go into the communities, you know, they're there for the right jobs, that they're not taking up too much space in schools, they're not fighting for the same benefits and things like that. Trump is doing a great job for the black community. He's doing a great job for America. And Joe Biden just doesn't have a record to run on. I mean, even when he was with, like you said, when he was with the Obama administration, they didn't do a good job in the black community. Black people got poorer. More people went to jail. Poverty ensued. And as a matter of fact, the community seemed like it suffered more under Biden and Obama than it did probably under any administration for a very, very long time. But we're coming back. America's going to be stronger. The black community is going to be stronger, and everything is going to be rosy. I mean, I looked at the Dow today, and I just jumped up and down. It's all coming back because of President Trump's strong and his vicious leadership, and I support him 100%.
Can I just give one final note? What Joe Biden did last week, he insulted the intelligence of not just black America. He insulted the intelligence of every American to make the assumption that you have to be a Democrat if you're a black person. And that fallacy is absolutely incorrect.
Vince?
That's definitely correct. That's definitely correct. You're finding now that because President Trump has been talking to the media and going to Twitter and going to all these other ways of getting to people, that people are hearing his message. Like a very good a salesman, he will tell you what his product does for you. And for a long time, Republicans spoke completely in general concepts when it came to the black community. Donald Trump will tell you every time he stands up, he's proud of what he's doing for black America. But when Joe Biden talks about his record, you have to say, good God, Joe, you're proud of that? I mean, you're proud of the terrible schools. You're proud of the crime. You're proud of writing a bill that locked up millions of black men. You're proud of voting for abortion that's right now killing up to 40% of all the pregnancies in the society of black America. You're proud of this. You're proud of the murder and the mayhem of this army, black men, when we see that they believe they're being hunted out there in the streets. And instead of saying, look, I think everybody has a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms and defend themselves, you're voting for people that are going to confiscate your weapons. You know, the Democrat Party has nothing more to offer the black community, as far as I'm concerned. I think everybody should sit down and talk, and we need to do what the president's talking about doing with school choice. We need to make sure that people are protecting their communities, that the police cannot protect them, make sure they can protect themselves. And we have to start talking so much about race in this country because
can I just add one thing?
We're all American.
Every 2-4 years, Leo, what does the Democratic Party do? Republicans want to put you all back in chains. It's like my father was killed all over again. If you elect Republicans, black churches are going to burn. I go through the history of this all the time. And you know what? The one president that has done more, that has impacted in the most positive ways every demographic group, including African Americans, Hispanic Americans, is Donald Trump. His policies worked, not their policies.
Let me simply say this, because Joe Biden has a nightmare. A person like me, who he would normally count in the column, in his column, I am his worst nightmare. And there's thousands of African Americans who were insulted by what he did, who will now have to make him earn our vote, because Joe Biden lost me and many, many blacks. And I will submit to you that Joe Biden has a lot of homework to do if he is going to have these supermajority numbers of African Americans, because he insulted them and he hurt them and he has basically wounded African Americans. African Americans want you to feel like you care for them. And what Joe Biden said last week, he made it sound like he took blacks for granted. So people like myself who are coming on your show, oh, Terrell's going to support Joe Biden. No. Terrell is going to wait to see what Joe Biden is going to offer America, and Donald Trump has taken the lead on that.
I got the zillion-dollar question for Leo when we get back. So stay right there. It's great to have you back. Vince, great to have you back. 800-941-SEAN. And as we roll along, you ain't black, according to Joe Biden. Anyway, Leo Terrell, American civil rights attorney, Vince Ellison, author of The Iron Triangle. Here's the big question. So, Leo.
Yes, sir.
You've been pretty much a lifelong Democrat, right?
Been pretty much on that side, yes.
Donald Trump did all these things we've discussed, right, as it relates to helping, doing more for African Americans. You saw Alice Johnson. I'm sure you felt what I felt. I've fallen in love with her. Wonderful mm-hmm. woman.
Yes,
that didn't happen under Biden Obama. Why would you not vote for Trump? You should vote for Trump.
Let me be very clear on your show. I am not committed to Biden. I'm not committed to Trump. I would like to see Trump do a little bit more on these most recent incidents that have happened in Minnesota and Georgia. You could just talk about that later. But I want to see a little bit more compassion. But I will sit here on your program and tell you very clearly, I am not in Biden's back pocket. And I will not sit here and tell you I'm committed to Biden. I'm open. We got 170 days. Let the candidates debate.
160.
I'll tell you.
But who's counting?
160.
Vince,
okay.
One thing that has happened, every 2-4 years, the race card gets played. I'm sick of it as a conservative because I want nothing to do with bigoted, hateful, racist people. Period, end of sentence. We're all children of God. And, you know, at the end of the day, it still happens every 2-4 years. And the Democratic candidates always play that card. I'm sick of it.
Well, Sean, I can vouch for that. You're one of the best men I've ever met, and you're a great citizen. There's not a racist bone in your body. I know that for a fact. But this is the card they're going to play because it always worked for them. I think they may have played it out this year, though. What we've seen, we all know these things are not right, but these are just human beings. They're not black. They're not white, as far as I'm concerned. I see human beings being bad, being mean to each other. Whether they're black or white is irrelevant to me. But these people are always trying to make it a black and a white issue. We're Americans, and we are all one people, one blood, and one country. And I'm going to tell you this about what I've heard today
real
from
quick.
My friend Leo. Walter Cronkite, when Johnson said, I lost Vietnam and I lost Walter Cronkite, Biden is going to lose the black community if he's lost Leo, because Leo has been a staunch, hard Democrat for years.
I know, but I've been working on him for 20 years, Vince. This has been a 20-year project, Leo, right?
Well, yes, but let me see here and say this, and you said it very clearly.
We're just out of time. I love you both. Welcome back. I missed you both. Straight ahead. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941. Sean, you want to be a part of the program. All right, let's get to our phones. Lisa in Montana has been extraordinarily patient today. I'm sorry for the long wait. Glad you called. I love Montana. It's beautiful out there. What a place. How are you?
Hello, Sean and Linda. I want to thank you so much. I would wait as long as
I possibly. Why does everybody thank Linda? It's the Sean Hannity show. Not the Linda New York show. All right, go ahead.
I love Lisa.
I love Lisa.
She should come on every day. It's a wonderful thing.
We'll talk. I know. Go. What's going on, Lisa?
We are planning here in Montana a birthday parade for President Trump on his birthday, June 14th, which is also National American Flag Day. And
that's awesome. What are you doing for the birthday party?
We're having a parade / in our cars. We're driving through Bozeman, Montana and the surrounding little towns with our cars decorated with Happy Birthday Trump, Trump 2020. Because they're trying to stop our rallies, and what's a better way to have a rally nationwide in our cars to honor President Trump on his birthday?
I love it. I don't want to burst your bubble. Linda's going to kill me when I say this. I've actually know for a fact he hates mentioning his birthday. There are some people that hate that. I don't particularly like mentioning mine either. But with that said, I love what you're doing. I think it's a great idea. I'm sure it'll be touched by the videos. Did you see the videos from South Carolina, Charleston this weekend, and the guy in the Trump 2020 boat, et cetera?
Oh, and I want everybody to decorate your boats, your homes, your cars, your semis.
So a buddy of mine, get this, and the guy was on TV. I don't remember if he was on radio, too. He's on one or the other. Anyway. See how great my memory is? I can tell you everything about every president from Jimmy Carter onward, but I can't remember who was on the show yesterday. Now, he put me on the phone with the Trump 2020 boat guy, and there were like apparently hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boats with all Trump 2020 signs. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, he might not like his birthday, but we're in times where they're trying to stop all of our rallies with him. And we can't think of a nationwide date to actually have our rallies in our car to support him and let him know we can't thank him enough for everything he's been through. And we need to stand for our American flag.
I've been putting on governors like Kristi Noem, South Dakota, and, you know, obviously DeSantis and Abbott from Texas. And we also had the Mississippi governor on. And just to get a little flavor for how all the states are dealing with coronavirus, I've not read a lot about Montana. I know South Dakota stayed open, which probably means it was nothing like what they experienced because of the stupidity of, you know, politicians in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. But how is coronavirus there?
Coronavirus, we were locked down for a while, yeah. And everybody's been cautious. I happen to work for Costco Wholesale.
I love Costco's. I'm serious.
So 24
you know
years
what I
later.
Love? You walk around and they give you samples like the old days. You know,
they used to.
The last time I went, I got samples.
No, they shut it down when all this came out. And now, as employees, we wear masks or shields if you can't breathe.
But, well, I meant before the virus. I haven't been there since the virus. I go to my local grocery store now. Okay.
Costco's got it going on. It's an amazing company as far as, you know, taking care of all of us. But it's, you know, it's a hard job. Everybody's stocking's wearing masks, and it's hard to breathe. But they're standing tall, and I'm very proud to be a Costco
employee.
Has
anybody at Costco's where you are ever gotten corona?
No.
Everybody's wearing a mask, right?
The employees are, but they weren't in the beginning.
You see, I keep using the anecdotal. I go to my Rite Aid. I go to my local grocery store. Every worker is in a mask and gloves. And thank God, nobody got corona. And they were wearing it from the earliest days here. And that's why, you know, I keep harping on, if I have to wear it to go to a game, I'll wear it. I want to go to a concert. I want to go to a baseball game. I want to go to a football game. I want to live again.
Right. And we will live again. And we will come through this. And we will survive. I will be looking forward to seeing all the parades that they're going to have for Trump on his birthday. I firmly believe
I think it's
it.
Awesome
it's
that you're doing it. Linda just texted me. Apparently you're a newlywed.
Well, no, it's my anniversary today. I was getting ready while I was on hold.
Wow.
So go out to dinner.
Well, where are you going to dinner tonight?
A place called La Hood.
La Hood, what kind of food they serve?
Oh, amazing ribs that when you cut it in half, it falls off the bone. It's fantastic.
Okay, you're going to hate me for this. I like the ribs, the pork ribs, where you actually have to rip it off the bone. I've got the same thing. My mother had it. I strip every bone. Obviously, you can't do it in a restaurant. But when I'm alone, it's messy. It's ugly. It's sloppy. It's, you know, it's
Linda would say you are chua.
Yes,
chua.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like it falling off the bone.
I got to say, I really like Lisa. She might be my favorite caller
all right,
of the week.
You're annoying me, but I love you anyway. All right, so here's the thing. How many, year anniversary?
It happens to be our fourth this year.
Okay. Any kids yet?
No, we met later in life, and we're happier than ever.
Good for you. I'm so glad to hear it. Wish
Heaven
you all the
earth,
best.
And if I didn't meet him, I wouldn't know as much as I do about politics. I was a numbnut walking around knowing nothing, and now I'm over-the-top passionate. I listen to your show all the time, and I appreciate your show because you repeat it and help me learn everything. And same with Rush Limbaugh.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way, Rush,
can't thank you enough.
Is amazing too. Let me ask you this: do you have do you have a ranch?
No.
Do you have acreage?
No.
So you live in the residential part of Bozeman.
I live in Manhattan. It's a tiny town.
What? I thought you said Manhattan. What town? What did you say?
I do. I live in a little town called Manhattan, Montana.
You know, if you look at Manhattan,
walk to the grocery store.
Wow. Okay. If you look at Manhattan, like when you're up in a jet and you're looking down at this, it's the tiniest island. 11 million people on that tiny island, which, you know, then Why didn't you prepare? I don't know why people pay such high amounts of money for the real estate in this shift hole, if you don't mind the use. Every time I say shift show, people think I'm cursing. I'm not cursing, although it's kind of a curse because he's such a jerk. But happy anniversary, Lisa. God bless you and your husband and the people of Montana. I got to get it. I want a ranch one day. That's my dream. Linda, what do you think? Hannity Ranch.
Listen, I'm in love with Montana. Lisa and I have already talked about this because when she said she was from
you're
there.
You're going to last 5 seconds on a
first
ranch.
First of all, would you give me a little credit?
You're going to last five
no,
seconds.
No, I'm not. Listen, I can do it, okay?
I can do it.
I'm going to hire people. I'm going to be a capitalist. They're going to, you know, take care of the grounds and the bugs and the dirt. And I'm going to appreciate the beauty that they offer to me. I'm going to pay my taxes. It's going to be great. I love it.
Okay. Well.
Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that. You know, just because I don't want to get dirty doesn't mean I can't appreciate the beauty.
Okay. I can see Lisa with I can see her with her first bison burger. Unbelievable.
Oh, amen.
Okay,
amen.
I got to run. Thank you, Lisa. Marty, California. What's up, Marty? How are you?
What's happening, man? What's going
What's
on,
happening?
Man? Hey, man,
What's
I'm right
happening?
Down here in the everything. I'm right down here in Los Angeles, the belly of the liberal, the ground zero right here, sir. And there's a lot of Trump supporters and there's a lot of Hannity supporters all up and down California. What I want to say, Sean, is that with everything that's gone on, I do believe this was a bio attack. It was another Pearl Harbor 9/11, and there needs to be. We need to deal with it. We need to deal with China, and it needs to be dealt with economically. And I don't know why our governor has got us locked down, talking about the negativity, instead of going down to Mexico and finding out how we can trade with them. We should start trading with them as opposed to give them the money instead of China. There's things that they can make that China made that we can buy, and we can help them grow their economy, their country, and they're our neighbors. Why isn't that happening?
Listen, I'm not disagreeing. What China did to the world, there needs to be a day of reckoning. And I mentioned it earlier, but just in passing, and the WHO is now defending them again. So they shouldn't get a penny. Now, as it relates to the lessons learned that I posted on Twitter today about Corona, one of them is, never trust China. They lied to us and people died. They literally misled the world. They then went out there and sucked up and started hoarding every bit of medical equipment, then selling it to us at a profit. Now we've learned that we can't rely on them for anything, especially medical equipment and pharmaceuticals and the agents for pharmaceuticals. I mean, we ought to learn a lesson, just like we needed to become energy independent. Trump made that happen, and Trump's been way ahead of the curve on China. And those jobs were coming back, and they will come back if we can open this country up now. Do it like yesterday. Robert Kraft was like, yes, we're opening the NFL on time with people in the stands. When he said that last night, I wanted to do a backflip. You're right. We got to fix it. You're dead on right. All right, let's go to Tom in North Carolina. Tom, what's happening, sir? How are you?
How are you, Mr. Hannity?
I'm good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Like you, I want to see stuff opened up. And because of you, I started a business. It's called the Sani Corps. And what it is, it's a screening and sanitizing process of people who want to go to large events. You know, we go through checking temperatures, applying sanitizer, not only to the hands and face, but also the whole external body.
What are you going to, like, shoot Purell up everybody's nose? What are you talking about?
No,
you'll go through one of the temperature turnstiles. Then what's the next step about face and hands? What are you going to do? People aren't going to want their hands and face cleaned by somebody.
No, not cleaned by somebody. They will do it themselves. I've been dealing with a plasma center here lately, and that's pretty much what we do. When the patients come in or the donors come in, they have their temperature checked. They walk over to one of the automatic hand sanitizer dispensers. They put it on their hand and then rub their face as well because, you know, that's keeping their hands and face a lot cleaner in the environment.
I love it. Do you have an actual, like, website, product line that we can take a look at?
It is thesanicore.com. Now, I just threw it up May 11th, but it's just really It's in, you know,
we'll take a look at it.
But it's needed.
Look, I'm just saying for the interim, the only thing I add to that is what everyone is yelling at me about is if you want stadiums to open, it's probably going to mean temporarily masks. You know, but you'll have your mask with your...
Right. I don't disagree with that at all. No, but, you know, from that step on, there is a product that's a pressurized alcohol that you can spray. When I say the rest of their external, it's just sprayed on the clothing and the arms, and, you know, you're not spraying your face, of course. But, you know, it's just a matter of there's a dwell time on sanitizing products.
I'm going to take a look at it after the show. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Super.
I appreciate it, Tom. I love the ingenuity. All right, Henry in New Jersey. What's up, Henry? Your governor messed up big time with his executive order. How are you?
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good, sir.
I'll get right to it. I think I got a great idea for a charity event.
Yeah, what is it?
To raise money for the doctors and nurses and everything. Mm-hmm. I think you, Rush, Levin, Bongino, and whoever else you want should have a pay-per-view debate against Acosta, Maddow, Humpty Dumpty, Fredo, all those who, I mean, I'll tell you the truth, I think you would make a ton of money, because I know I would love to see it.
Listen, if it's for a charity, I'm never going to say no to, you know, whenever I can. I never say no to charities. I don't think it would happen because there's many people for many reasons that would never do it. Or maybe like a softball game, the conservatives versus the libs, something like that. But we'll have to have like literally buffer zones, safe zones for people so they don't kill each other. But, you know, I would always be open to something like that. You know, I still am active, athletic, sports constantly. I do my mixed martial arts. By the way, how great is Dana White? He's now going to like open up pay-per-view events in an island somewhere. And you know what? Good for him. With the new Abbott test, you can test all of the fighters. They can get in the octagon. I always watch pay-per-view anyway. I think I've purchased every fight imaginable. But I love your idea. You know what we're talking about here, which is fun for the first time? We're actually sounding like we're living again. We got to live again. I want to live. I want to be free. And we've learned what it's like not working. It sucks. I've always known and said that. You know, you're going to be great. You retire. All right, first 30 days, you fish, you go hunting, you play golf. Then what's next? I'll be driving around, Linda right or wrong, in my car, and I'll be doing my own talk show.
You'll be talking to yourself.
I'll be talking to myself. People will look at the strange guy in the car talking to himself, saying, oh, Leo from Memphis, you're on next. We're not going to have time for Leo, are we? All right, we got to run. All right, that's all the time we have. Lawrence Jones, Governor DeSantis, Chris Christie, news from the DOJ, Matt Gaetz, Dennis Miller, 9 Eastern. Back here tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.